OLTU.com,
the home of quality podcasts.
Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams.
Hi, and welcome to episode 208 of Shutters Inc. This will be a fairly quick one this morning, but there are a few things that I wanted to cover. I say this morning because it's Sunday morning, and got some people coming for lunch, so I've got a few things to do this morning, but I did want to get an episode out this week. Something that came across my sites during the week was a video that was posted on Lifehacker. I think I've mentioned before that Lifehacker is one of those blogs that I like to just keep an eye on every now and again. Just something comes up that I always find really interesting. Anyway, they posted a link to a video, which I'll put in the show notes. The original was posted on a website I'd not heard of called 99u.com, which in some respects seems, on first glance, I hadn't spent a lot of time there, seems to be very similar to, say, TED.com. Videos of, motivational speakers, that kind of stuff. Anyway, this guy, Joshua Foer, I assume it's pronounced F-O-E-R, was talking about a concept called the OK Plateau. And I thought, it just really made a lot of sense to me, and I thought I'd bring it to your attention. I will very briefly summarize what he talked about. But I'll put the links both to the Lifehacker and to the original link on 99U in the show notes. So if you want to go and check it out, it's about a 17-minute video. It's not extremely long. But basically what he was talking about was that when we start to learn a new skill, and it could be, anything. I mean, he sort of brings up a couple of ideas throughout his talk, like learning to type. But this could equally be applied to, our approaches to photography. He said, when we learn, cognitive scientists have sort of worked out that we go through three stages during the acquisition of a new skill. The first stage they refer to as the cognitive stage, which is where you sort of intellectualize and really consciously think about individual steps within whatever this new skill set is. As we get further down the path of learning the new skill, we move into what they refer to as the associative phase, which is where you're becoming more adept at, the new skill. It doesn't require quite as much conscious focused effort as it did at the outset, but it's still not innate, or the neural pathways aren't set up to the stage where you fly on autopilot, as it were. And then the third stage is sort of the autopilot stage, what they refer to as the autonomous stage, where you have developed those neural pathways to the point where you really don't have to think about, whatever it is that this skill set requires you to, to do, whether it be physical or mental or whatever. And that these are the three stages we go through in learning any new skill. And that once you reach that autonomous phase where everything just happens automatically, you no longer have to consciously focus on things, then we pretty much stop learning. And he said, that experts in any field who, always seem to be breaking new boundaries, what they do is they force themselves, they recognize when they've reached that autonomous phase, and then they force themselves back into the associative phase. And to do that, they keep pushing themselves to do the things that they haven't mastered. One of the key concepts of his talk was to study yourself failing. And he said that, one of the things that, typists who want to learn to type faster, what you can do is take a deliberate approach of, I'm going to type faster than I've ever typed before. even though you know you're going to make horrendous mistakes, you're going to come out with a page full of gibberish that makes no sense, couldn't be read by anybody, do it anyway. And keep practicing on it, and keep practicing typing at that speed, even though you're making horrendous quantities of mistakes. It builds up those neural connections that you don't build up all the while you play in the safe zone. You know, if you keep typing at the level that, you know I can type this fast and be, you know, 99% accurate, then you're never going to develop a skill of typing any faster. And he also mentioned in his video the idea of the figure skaters, and that the most successful figure skaters are the ones who spend the majority of their training time practicing the jumps that they can't land. And that, you know, the majority, all the rest of the figure skaters are happy to practice the jumps they've already mastered. Which is good, because you get that sense of achievement, you know, of success. But it doesn't push you to develop your skill any further. And by practicing the things that you haven't been able to master up to this point, you are giving yourself and your brain the opportunity to build the neural pathways which will get you to the point where that thing that you're trying to do that you have as yet not done a chance to come to fruition. Anyway, I don't want to plagiarize his entire video, because I would like you to go and watch it. I think it was great. And it's certainly given me something to chew on with regards to photography, because I sort of feel like I'm in stage two at the moment, you know. It's certainly not autonomous for me. I still need to think about a lot of it, particularly with the more advanced lighting setups. I like that idea of pushing yourself harder to learn new stuff. And, you know, there are areas of my life where I do recognize I'm in an autonomous state and, you know, probably aren't pushing myself hard enough. So, yeah. Anyway, each to their own. But anyway, I just thought I'd bring it to your attention, and hopefully you enjoy the video and can gain something from it. Other things that I wanted to mention this week. Obviously, I have not spoken to you since I went off to Hayman Island for Sound Business Plan with ARN, the radio station for whom I work. That was very intense. It was 5 days, Wednesday to Monday, and talk about going hard. We got up there Wednesday afternoon, and you basically start shooting photos and video Wednesday lunch from Wednesday night, then all through the conference Thursday, then Thursday night dinner, then all through the conference Friday night dinner, and then conference Saturday morning up until about lunchtime, and then Saturday lunchtime I went to ground in my hotel room and started editing the photos and slideshow and the photo slideshow and the video presentation, which both had to be ready by Sunday lunchtime. And so very tight turnaround and very intense. And of course, on top of all of this, you are expected to, you know, go and mingle and socialize with the clients, you know, in the evenings and that sort of thing as well. So as a consequence, I had some very, very late nights. I think I worked out that in the last 72 hours I was there, I had 10 hours of sleep. I was absolutely knackered by Monday. In fact, funny story, sorry, not photography related. Monday morning they'd said to us, your bags are going to be picked up from your room at 8:15. I'd got to bed at 2 a.m., woke up at 7, and yes, that was half of the quantity of sleep I'd had for the previous 3 days, or 2.5 days. And so I thought, well, there's no sense going back to sleep now, because they're going to be here in an hour to pick up my bag, so I might as well get up, get dressed, pack the bag, go off and have breakfast, and then I can come back afterwards and grab my camera bag and laptop bag and head off. So I come back from breakfast at 9 o'clock. Yes, my suitcase has been picked up and taken away. My laptop and my camera bag are still there. And so I thought, oh, well, I've got half an hour. The laptop was still running, so I thought I'll just play some music off the laptop and I'll just sit down in this chair here and have a bit of a rest. And of course, as soon as I sat down, I thought, oh man, I am going to fall asleep. I better set an alarm on my phone. And we'd been told, you know, 9:30 checkout, be picked up at 10:15 from the front of the resort to be taken down to the marina. Boat leaves at 10:30 to take us to Hamilton Island, where the airport is. So anyway, I set the alarm on my phone, sit down in this chair, sure enough, nodded off. Next thing, I've woken up, and there's no music playing, and I'm thinking, ooh, check my phone, it's 10:47. I'm like, ah! So I jumped up, and I've turned the laptop off, and I'm, you know, yanking the power cable out of the wall and trying to, you know, get it all back in the laptop bag, and seriously, about 5 seconds later, one of the girls from ARN rings me and she goes, are you on the boat yet? And I'm like, no, I'm still in my hotel room. I fell asleep. I've just woken up. I'm on my way. And she said, look, the captain of the boat wants to go now without you. And I said, oh, God, please, just wait. I'm coming. So anyway, so I bolt out my door. And of course, as it would happen, I'm on the first floor, so I've got to get down to the ground floor. I'm then racing full pelt through the resort, laptop bag in one hand, roller camera bag in the other hand, rolling behind me, sprinting down the length of Hayman Island Resort to the concierge desk, which is about 100 metres from my room. Get down there, and of course there's about 15 people waiting to check into the hotel. I'm like, oh no. And anyway, about a minute later, one of the Hayman Island girls comes in. She goes, is there a Bruce Williams here? I was like, yes. She said, have you checked out yet? I was like, no. She goes, don't worry about it. Let's go. So we're racing out to the front of the resort to find a golf cart. And she's calling on her two-way. Can I get a golf cart to the, need an emergency delivery to the marina? So this guy picks us up, seriously, it was only about 15 seconds before he was there. Picks us up, drives us down to the marina, and I'm getting ready to jump off the golf cart, and he says, no, don't worry, I'll drive the golf cart down onto the jetty. So drives down onto the jetty, and because the boat's sitting there, and there's 100 people standing on the back deck, and they're all going, woo! They're clapping and carrying. Like, oh God, just kill me now. So that was the Hayman Island adventure. It was very intense, and seriously, it took me the rest of that week to catch up on sleep. I was just knackered. But I did take a walk around the island. It's about an 8 kilometre walk around Hayman Island. And the walk is absolutely gorgeous. Right on top of the... for those who... I'm assuming most people would not be familiar with Hayman Island. It's basically like one mountain peak. Well, it's got a bit of a ridge line, but it's essentially just one mountain top. You can get up to the top and have almost a 360-degree view of the Whitsundays, which is just amazing. I did shoot a panorama on my Samsung Galaxy Note, which has a panorama mode in it, so you just push the shutter button and you pivot your phone, and it basically auto stitches a panorama in the phone in real time, just as a proof of concept. But then I did grab my my Alpha 850 and I shot a sequenced panorama, which I have yet to put together, but I am looking forward to getting to that because I think it's going to come up looking quite nice. So anyway, that's enough of that story. A website that I found a week and a half ago that I've really been enjoying reading some of the articles on is a site called Cambridge in Colour. For anyone who, like me, gets off on the scientific side and understanding the technology behind how things work, you're going to love this site. It has very good tutorials that explain, how a digital sensor works, how it collects light, how it filters them, and filters the different photo sites for green, blue, and red, and and just all kinds of things. Understanding, pixel dimensions and how the resolution affects, print sizes and display sizes, and understanding color spaces, all that technical stuff. If you're into that kind of stuff, which I totally am, great site, well worth a look. I will put a link in the show notes, so if you want to go and have a look, you can just link straight off the Shutter Zinc show notes. And finally, the The shoot that I mentioned in the last episode, the vampire-inspired shoot, I'm pretty sure I mentioned it in the last episode. I was talking about the soon-to-be-demolished house that we got to shoot in and were able to, you know, punch holes in walls and not have to clean up and all that sort of stuff and not pay for any damage. I finally got around to finishing the editing of those images, and the blog post and those images is now up on brucewilliamsphotography.com. If you're interested in having a look, I'm really happy with the way they came up. The only thing I'm not happy about is just, you know, Shelton always drummed into us, get it right in camera. And as much as I, you know, tried to get it right in camera, and the images I got straight out of camera were great, but I did a lot of post work on them to kind of increase the drama, increase the contrast, limit the fall of light, and I guess this kind of ties back to, you know, Joshua Foer's thing of, you know, pushing yourself to learn more. I look at the images that I've processed and I go, how do I get to a point where I can create that sort of lighting look directly in camera? Maybe you can't. Maybe what I was trying to achieve just couldn't be done in camera. I don't know. You know, because obviously when you see the images, you'll understand. I wanted very rapid fall off of light into shadow. And obviously to achieve that, you need your light sources close to your subject in order to achieve that faster fall off. And so maybe what I did in post is not achievable in the real world. There's an interesting concept. That thought has just occurred to me as I was talking. Anyway, so if you're interested in having a look at those images and how they came up, again, there'll be a link in the show notes. You can check it out and read the blog and see everything I went through to pull that off, although I probably talked about that in the last episode. All right, I think that will have to do it for this week. Any questions, comments, feedback, please drop me an email, studio@audiotu.com. And until I speak with you next, take care.
Shutters Inc., another audiotu.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email studio@audiotu.com.